Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
All right, here we go on a Tuesday. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Drew Nixon, Jay Binkley back once again, filling in for Cody for this week. Bink, you're upset with Drew right
How
out of the
doing,
gate.
Alex?
Right
you're
out right? of the gate. I can't believe this. You're already fired up because you asked Drew to do something for you.
Just one time. And yesterday I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, hey, no, I don't need anything, Drew. Thank you for asking me, though. Thank you.
Normally, Drew makes a quick run down the street to a convenience store to get his 44-ounce Code Red and
Why
whatever else.
Did you
and
think
and
I
hash
at that
browns,
can?
Too.
Why did you think I looked at that can
yep.
and say, well, you already got it. Is this a home version?
Mm-hmm. And instead, he, for whatever reason, the one time he brings
one
his
time.
Own can of Code Red, which
one time.
That's a good shift. It feels like it's cheaper if you just bring your own. And then Bink was looking for some more chew.
Yeah.
And you were expecting him to go out and get you some. And yeah. he said, no, Bink, not happening
I
today.
Offered yesterday, and Bink didn't need it. But I offered you. If you knew that you were low, Bink, you could have just said, yeah,
no.
go ahead.
You know what? I came in. I said, you know what? Drew likes to go to Quick Trip. I'll give him the cash for it. And you know what? I was even going to get you something. I was like, go ahead and get your Mountain Dew on this and get Alex something. And say, get Alex some Reese's or something. I was going to give you money and Alex and me to get
yeah.
the chew. It was going to be a nice gesture by me, but no more.
This is why you don't assume.
Well,
because the one random time that I decide, you know what, I'm not going to go out.
It's the first time in 2 months, I will say, that you
it
haven't,
not
gone,
the, okay,
that you haven't gone to Quick Trip.
That's a stretch.
Are yeah, you going to be okay with that? Like, does Dusty have some for you?
No, I'm going to run out at some point.
Dusty's got some Zins maybe for you or something like
Dust
that.
Dustman will help me on.
Yeah.
Actually,
he just gave you the middle finger.
Yeah, I know
so,
he did.
Yeah.
And yeah. This is what he used to do.
Think, watch it. We're on stream.
Oh,
jeez. I have no idea if it caught it. No. Hey, I have no idea if it caught you or not.
I completely forgot about the stream. I love it. I don't know if it caught it, but that's great.
Oh, if it did, please go back and screenshot. Somebody go back.
That's great. Well, we're off to a great start
yeah,
on a Tuesday.
Greetings, Dust Man.
Coming up in about 30 minutes, we're going to have the general manager of the Kansas City Royals, J.J. Pecolo, join us. He does every couple of weeks. Obviously, a ton to get into with him. I want to ask him about players-only meetings and what's that like as a general manager when you hear your players are holding a meeting like that. What's the first reaction? Obviously, there's some rumors out there about potential trades that maybe they're at least calling on some teams. So a lot to get into with J.J. Pecolo coming up in 30 minutes. You guys can always hit us up on the Chase Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965.
Nah,
the video stream also up and running. Now, I don't know what happened on the video stream, but it is up and running. Twitch, Facebook, YouTube, make sure you subscribe. That way you don't miss any of the shows here on 96.5 yeah. The Fan.
Great starts.
Mm-hmm.
You're safe, Binka. Just missed.
Oh, yeah.
Dang it.
And it was
dang
away
it.
From the camera,
That's
too.
That's disappointing, so. Actually. I was hoping it was going to be on
but
there.
But you know what, though? I can do this because it's on the internet. So
oh,
technically,
yeah, I mean,
you can do
sure.
whatever you want.
Mm-hmm. You can, yeah, so if you want to flip somebody off later, go
we
for
cuss,
it.
We cuss, we can do whatever we want.
Let's talk Chiefs to start,
I like
though.
To cuss and hit the dumb button so Drew freaks out.
Yeah, Binks in a good mood, though, because minicamp does start today. And the only question I have, otherwise what is normally kind of a boring thing, is Trey Smith, right? We know he's less than a month away from the franchise tag deadline, or the long-term deal deadline. He already signed the franchise tag, I should say. And if he holds out, he'd be out about $100,000, $105,000 if he would miss all 3 days of mandatory minicamp. Is he showing up today? We saw their social media team put out like their media day yesterday that they were doing, and it looked like part of the video you saw Trey Smith there. So I think
smiling.
He's in Kansas City. The question would be, is he doing the old hold-in, or is he actually practicing?
You mean like a Shamar Stewart
today? Well, now Shamar Stewart doesn't even have a contract. So
but he still shows up.
This is at least a franchise tag has been signed. He is an employee still of the team. But we see nowadays guys do these hold-in things. Do you think Trey Smith is actually going to practice today? That's really the biggest question I have are these 3 days.
No.
It's minicamp.
No. I don't think he does. And I think they're good with that because they know what he can do. And I think they're good with that. I don't think he practices.
You think at this point in time, it's just understood. Now, Andy was asked about it last week, and he basically was like, we'll see kind of thing.
Oh, he hates contract type stuff. I mean, that's the one thing that Andy really hates. Yeah. So you're not going to get a lot of contract stuff, but they know what he can do. So even if he misses these 3 days, big deal. I mean, seriously, in the grand scheme of things.
I agree.
I like mini camps. You know, it's tongue in cheek. Ha ha. I like them. By the way, the Rams are in Hawaii doing that.
Yeah,
I mentioned
Maui,
that. They're
camp.
Actually over there. Yeah,
yeah, they're calling it Maui camp.
Maui camp, yeah.
Yeah, I think for him, if he doesn't show up or if he does the hold-in thing, totally understandable. I mean, that's just how this stuff usually operates. You're trying to protect yourself, you know, even though there's no pads on or anything like that. You don't want to jeopardize anything in the future. I think at this point, it still seems like it's been very, very cordial that both sides want to get a deal done. It's a totally different situation than what you brought up, what's happened in Cincy with Trey Hendrickson or Micah Parsons publicly. There's been no, to this point, public bad mouthing, anything like that. Everybody wants to get it done. Now, he has signed the franchise tag, so you know kind of where the number's got to start. You know it's got to start at that number if you're looking on a per-year basis. The question is it a four-year deal or a five-year deal? I think we've been consistent on the timeline for this. While it's, what, July 15th or so, I don't really start thinking it heats up contract-wise for Trey Smith until July 1st. Then you're inside of 2 weeks. You know, at that point, you're, what, 3.5 weeks away from heading up to St. Joe. It starts to get real at that point. Deadline, spur action. We all know that this happens all the time. I still think something gets done, mainly because, one, he's already signed the franchise tag, so you kind of know the dollar amount. The other thing is, it would be a massive failure if you traded Joe Tooney and you did not get a long-term deal done with Trey Smith. That would be a complete disaster.
The Trey Smith deal is an interesting one, too. For one, as soon as they draft him, he's got two rings, and he's been to nothing but the Super Bowl. His whole career, he's got two rings, and then he lost that last year. We're talking about a sixth-round pick. Sixth round. He thought he was going much earlier. And like I said, I never forget during the Zoom, because it was during Zoom calls then with the players at that point, he had the Chiefs draft hat on. And I thought that was interesting for a sixth-round pick to have the Chiefs hat on, because usually those are built for, you know, guys in the first and second round to have those. They're sent all the hats. Clearly, it was presumed he was going to go much earlier. But he caught a break, and the Chiefs took a chance on him. And I think that there's this mutual respect between the two, between Trey and the Chiefs. Like, hey, man, this team took a chance on me. Sixth round, other teams are passing on me like crazy. They took me. I got two rings for him. That's why I think it's a cordial deal. He does a lot of stuff in the community in Kansas City. He really, really likes being a Chief. They took a chance on him. I just think, and then clearly, this is a business deal. I get it. But I think there's this mutual respect between Trey and the organization. He was in the Hallmark movie that you were in last year.
He was.
I mean, Trey Smith has been a Chiefs guy. I mean, anything they've asked him to do, he does it. He goes out with Mitch to Central Kansas and does all those things, but he's been kind of a company guy.
I agree
guy.
With you.
So,
totally.
I just don't see this, you know, being acrimonious at all between the two.
It's not only important to get it done because of what we mentioned, just the decision you made earlier in the offseason to say, hey, he's the guard we're keeping. We're going to let Joe Tooney go to Chicago. We're going to trade him to Chicago, I should say. Not that he's not a high-quality player, but you're going with the age thing and everything else. The other reason why it's so important for them to get this done is we all know that there are other guys that they need to make decisions on or would like to maybe get a deal done. Most notably, Trent McDuffie, who is one of the faces of this franchise now and will be over the next, hopefully, five-plus years.
And
Karlaftis. But if we're doing order, I think McDuffie is next up.
Here's the problem. Like, Veach has kind of created this himself. And it's good and bad because Veach takes chances on guys like a Trey Smith in the sixth round, all of a sudden you might be paying him more than any player in the National Football League, right? Like he drafted like Creed Humphrey and all this highest paid center in the NFL, not even a first round pick. So what I'm saying is he's doing well in the draft. Yeah, forget some of the misses. Yeah, that happens with everybody. But he's doing so well in the other rounds that all of a sudden it's payday for these guys. Now, McDuffie's different. It's first-round pick. I get it. So is Karloftis. But his guys that aren't first-rounders are getting paid like first-rounders. Look at L'Jarius Sneed. What do you mean? What, a fourth-round pick? And you turn around and flip him to Tennessee. That's a byproduct of being good at what you do. It's a byproduct of being good at the draft that all of a sudden that's the catch-22 of it because now you got to pay them all. Like, not only you draft them and they're – you know, they're achieving team success. And like Trey, he's got two rings, been to another. He's been to nothing but Super Bowls in his career. That's impressive. And this is what these guys do. So they end up getting more money in the open market because Veach takes a chance on these guys and he ends up having to pay him like a first rounder. But that's what happens when you draft so well.
I thought it was interesting, though, if we back up to early March, I guess it would have been, when they traded Joe Tooney and you knew that, okay, they're tagging Trey Smith. The thought then, at least I had, and I think Cody agreed with me at the time, I don't know where you were at on it, Bink, was, oh, if they did this, they're going to get this deal done pretty quick. They must think they're pretty close. And then, so fast forward, here we are, we're talking, they're less than a month away from the deadline. And then Brett Veach had his pre-draft, you know, Zoom call or whatever, and he was asked about the Trey Smith situation. And he was also on this show just a day or two before, or a week or so before the draft. And he kind of said, oh, you know, Trey's agents are really busy. They got a bunch of clients before the draft, yes, but that is, if there's a deal to be had, there's a deal to be had. That told me that there was clearly, they're like, all right, let's just pause this thing for a little bit. We're not very close. That was interesting to me. I'm still right now, if you're asking me to make a bet, do they get a deal done? Yes, I still think they get a deal done as well. But
and the other bad part is you're not getting the fifth-year option on a lot of his picks because they're not first-rounders. You know what I'm saying? So that's an issue.
Do you think Trent McDuffie gets a deal done before this season? Like, if they get Trey done, let's say it's July 12th or something, 3 days before whatever the deadline, do you think we're up in St. Joe early August or so, mid-August, and they get a deal done a week or two before the season or no? Sauce Gardner's waiting for a deal out there.
I can see him waiting on it, too, but also I can see him getting it done with the Trent because, again, Trent McDuffie's seen nothing but success with this team. That's the problem. They all have.
We're going to talk some more Chiefs football a little bit later on during the Chiefs Red half hour as well. Also, don't forget, 20 minutes away, if you're just joining us, we'll have the general manager of the Kansas City Royals, J.J. Piccolo, join us. We'll ask him about that players-only meeting and where they're at in terms of looking outside the organization. How aggressive are they going to be? There's a couple reports out there suggesting they've been calling around maybe for some outfield help. So are they buyers, sellers? What's in? I don't think it's as simple as just saying they're a buyer. Are they a buyer to only help 2025 is in Reynolds? Or are they a buyer of, hey, we'll make a move, but it's got to be somebody that has control in 2026 as well?
You expect one guy, multiple guys, because right. We don't think one bat would do it.
Right. So JJ will join us in just a bit. Josh Vernier was on with Fesco and Dusty yesterday, and he said that the Royals need to drop the green flag, meaning start buying now. And as I said, there's some reports out there. I want to read you one suggesting kind of maybe what they're looking at this point in time, and then we'll ask JJ about it in a little bit. But there's report from Jim Bowden out there, and he's always good around the trade deadline in terms of some of the rumors that are out there. He now writes for The Athletic, and he said, quote, the Royals are shopping for corner outfield help and realize they'll probably have to trade one of their top catching prospects, Blake Mitchell, Carter Jensen, Ramon Ramirez, to make it happen. And so we all know the issue with the outfield. It was a huge talking point in the offseason. Clearly, their plan backfired. MJ Melendez is in AAA, and Hunter Renfro is not on a single baseball team, I don't think, anywhere in baseball. He was DFA. I don't think anybody else has signed him since that I can remember. So yeah. Clearly, that's an area. The question with this is, do you want them trading a top prospect in Blake Mitchell or Carter Jensen, somebody that has a great chance to help this team very soon because Salvador Perez has a club option next year. And then after that, you know, he's probably not with the organization in 2 years. So
the hardest thing with Carter is being a local guy, too. There's a lot of, you know, people have a lot of feelings because he went to Park Hill
I mean, there's people that have compared Blake Mitchell, given the fact that he plays the catcher position, but in terms of his bat, people are saying Bryce Harper. I'm serious.
Oh, I know.
Those are
Blake's a stud.
I mean, so that's the type of player we're talking about. Now, you have to be willing to trade something to get something. We know this game, and sometimes teams value prospects too much. But I'll ask you: do you? If I tell you that it's a player, let's say an outfielder that they can trade for that also has control beyond 2025, then I'll listen. But I do not want them trading Blake Mitchell. Let's say for rental player. Ryan O'Hearn, okay? Like, no, yeah. I'm completely out on that.
I'm for making moves, and you look at the big picture. I'm a big fan of pushing all in, of course, but the bottom line is you have to look at this pitching staff, and you think, all right, is it going to be this good again? Like, this is a pitching staff that can get you through the postseason. I mean, this is a pitching staff that'd be very dangerous in small series in the postseason. It just is. It's very good at what it does. Again, what, only two American League teams have a better ERA as starters, three as relievers. Is it going to be this good again? And with the additions of bats, because we've seen teams turn it around. What, the Orioles won, 11 out of 15 or something? I know that they're way behind in things, but teams do turn around and get on a roll. Mentioned Cleveland, Minnesota. The Royals are 2-8 in their last 10. So is Cleveland, Minnesota. These things happen in baseball. These streaks go back and forth. Can the Royals get on a streak with those bats because you don't want to waste the pitching?
Yeah, well, so they're right now three back or whatever of a playoff spot. If you still believe this year's team can get it done and get there, they have to go trade for an outfielder or an offensive weapon, right?
They
have to do that. If you're obviously out on it and you just think it's already done, and you don't, then of course you're saying you want them to be sellers. And as I've said, I think they can make that determination in 3 weeks. The selling aspect settles itself at some point in time. Also in this piece, though, from Jim Bowden over at The Athletic, here's what I'm interested in, because I told you I'm out on the trading a top prospect for a Cedric Mullins or a Ryan O'Hearn if somebody are, they're both free agents at the end of the season. I do not want that. You can trade for those players. Do not trade away a top prospect for a rental with where you're at. Now, in the piece, it mentions the Marlins, though. Here's where this could be more, I think, a way to help this year's team, but also still help out 2026 and beyond. So in the piece, it says, however, the Marlins will listen to inquiries on their corner outfielders this summer, since teams like the Padres and Royals might overpay for Kyle Stowers. And then I think it's Jesus Sanchez. Stowers is 27. In 276, 10 homers, 65 games, three controllable years left. Sanchez, I'll admit, I do not know how to pronounce his last name, is also 27, hitting 257, six home runs, seven steals in 50 games. He's got 3 years of club control remaining. Those are far more intriguing to me. Now, they're going to cost more because they have club control left. But that is the type of move I would want them to make. I do not want them trading assets of the future for pieces that are half-season rentals.
And you would, so you're out on a Suarez.
Yes.
Somebody like that.
Well, if for a top prospect, Bank. If you tell me that, let's just say in this hypothetical, Seth Lugo.
Because he's 33, he's an unrestricted free
agent. If you want to tell me they could trade Seth Lugo in a deal for somebody that's a rental with another piece on top of it that's in the future, yes, I would be on board for that.
But Suarez, I'm not trading, is a rental that I don't think you'd have to give a big piece for.
Right. So I'm not trading the number two prospect in your system for a guy that's here for 3 months. Not doing that.
No, I wouldn't do that either. I don't think the Diamondbacks would ask for that for Suarez.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know what they would ask. But you were just asking what I...
UFA. I'm just saying that that's an option just because he is a free agent after the season. And he's 33.
Yeah.
But he's clutch. You're not going to be enamored by the average, but the power's there. Dude's got 3 grand slams. This team could use some of that fortune.
J.J. Bacolo is going to join us in 15 minutes. We'll ask him about some of the reports out there that they're calling around. Let's just keep this in perspective, too, though. They have 25 games left before the All-Star break. And then, of course, after that, what would that be? Another 10 or so before the trade deadline-ish, whatever.
If you finish right with the Mets right before the break, I think.
Texas, right? They start tonight. Then the Padres, Tampa, Dodgers, Mariners, Diamondbacks.
And by the way, Tampa's on a roll, too.
Pittsburgh.
Like, Tampa's on a roll. You know they're only 2.5 games back from the Yankees at this point? That's... Tampa's playing some ball.
We
know San Diego is in L.A., but yeah.
Pittsburgh and the Mets were the other two during the next 25.
Pittsburgh is a healthy team.
Every single one of those teams, Bink, but Pittsburgh has a better record.
But they still lose.
Than the Royals.
Skeens will go out and put one hitter, but they'll still find a way to lose.
Drew's over there laughing. Hey.
What's so funny, Drew?
Finally got to the end of it there. Yeah. Pirates are the only team that the Royals have a better record than. That's what I was trying to get to there.
Yeah. Skeen's been very good, but he might win the Cy Young. six games under 500.
Yeah, that's that whole situation just a mess, just because it's very clear the frustration that he already has. But no, I was talking on the Royals and just with the schedule. This is what they have before the All-Star break. So, you know, how much faith do you have, a team that has struggled against quality teams this season, that they can put themselves in a position where you want them to truly be a buyer? But I also don't think, you know, being a buyer is not as simple as just flat out saying buyers or sellers. There's different layers. So there's different types of buyers, different types of sellers, which is kind of what we were alluding to. You can be a buyer for rental, or you can be a buyer for pieces of the future. And so while a lot of texts we get are, hey, they should sell, I think you can kind of do both. You can be a buyer for the future and also sell for the short term, if that makes sense, versus being a buyer for the short term and selling, you know, for a long-term piece. That there's different layers to it. It's not as simple as just buying and selling.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough schedule, no question about it. Seattle's right there in the mix with a half game out of the wild card. It's all going to be tough series coming up for the Royals. Teams like Arizona, you know, they sit back, what, 3.5 back of a wild card. So you're going against teams that still reasonably think they have a chance. Now there's Pittsburgh with 29 wins, but Oakland always had 29 wins. They have 30 now because they won last night, but they came in much worse off position than the Royals, and they swept the Royals.
Well, that's why it was an abysmal homestand. It was embarrassing. A team that truly doesn't even have a home comes into your home and sweeps you over the weekend. Now the Royals begin a road trip in Texas. All right, so also it's that time of the year where some of the All-Star balloting is starting to get released. One, you've been able to vote for a while, but the initial results are out there, the early voting and everything like that. You might have seen Bobby Wood Jr. is second right now among AL shortstops behind the guy that's probably going to win American League Rookie of the Year, Jacob Wilson, who was just in Kansas City this weekend, who's having an unbelievable season for the A's. I also noticed when they released those results, something that many people have complained about for a while, which is like, go back to letting the players wear their team jerseys in the All-Star game. They're finally doing that again.
It'll be this year.
So other than the Home Run Derby will still have, they just released the AL, NL, All-Star unis, and it's kind of that the same Atlanta theme to it, because the All-Star game, of course, is in Atlanta this year. Down there. But I absolutely love the fact, finally, they're going back to, if Bobby Witt Jr. ends up being an All-Star or whoever you think are going to be representing the Royals, that they will be wearing the Royals uniform and hat during the All-Star game. That's the way to do it. I think all the leagues should do that, although the NFL doesn't even have.
Which one?
They're doing
Which one? Do you think they're going to wear the alternate blue or the...
That's a good question. Yeah, I don't know about that.
They'll be the road team, so is it going to be the gray, the dark blue, or the...
Powder blue?
Yeah.
Yeah, that I don't know. All that matters is you wearing the Royals hat. With the actual Royals uniform. It doesn't matter to me, Bink. Which one do you want them to wear, Bink? I like the powder
blue.
The
one they wore for BP and the one they wear on Saturdays. And every once in a while, the powder blue with the white front.
Yeah, I think the batting helmet of the trucker-looking hat, or if you will, the you have the trucker hat version of it. I think
I have the new Era 5950.
Of
the Royals batting practice hat they wear on Saturdays.
The batting practice helmet, though, looks better than the hat. The helmet with the shine on it looks better than the hat. I don't like the hat.
You don't like the hat?
The batting helmet of it looks really good.
Why don't you like the hat?
I don't think it looks as good on a hat as it does on the batting helmet. That's
I like
all.
That.
Yeah. Yeah, you're rocking the camo hat today. Drew's got his, I don't know what he, which, but yeah.
He's got Oklahoma State on his shirt.
Yes, I had an Oklahoma State shirt.
School number 30. Yes. Yep. Someone says the jerseys, they're selling
hat,
the, someone says the, someone says they're selling the gray jersey with the All-Star patch.
It's definitely not a Pacers hat.
No, it's not.
We're going to talk NBA finals at some point. Drew's definitely not rocking his Pacers today after yesterday.
A sirs.
Yes, sir. Tough loss.
What is that hat?
It's just a generic Nike hat.
Oh, it's not a hat to go with the Oklahoma State shirt?
No, I don't have college hats. I don't do college hats.
When's your publication come out?
August. I wait until like the week before the season because I do it all by myself. I don't have people who do it with me or for me or anything. No, I do not.
Have you started it?
Yeah, I started it in probably October of last year.
Good. It's a great publication. I love it.
Thank you.
It's a digital thing, but
yes.
Have you seen this stuff?
Oh, he's done it for a couple of years.
Crazy.
Yeah, he's done for a couple of years.
I told him to start selling it.
He spends a ton of time doing it.
He was doing it for free, and I was like, what are you doing, man? Make some cash.
Are you committing to buying multiple issues for him?
No, I'm his friend. I'd want it free, but I'm saying that you should sell it. I mean, I expect it free, but...
You're already laying it out there, and that's good.
Uh-huh. You should get one free, too.
Someone says you shouldn't be wearing any Oklahoma-related stuff while the Pacers are playing a team from
it's
Oklahoma.
It's true. I didn't think of that.
It is very true. Text line. You're
if I was wearing
correct.
An Oklahoma Sooners,
wow.
If I was wearing Oklahoma Sooners gear, that makes sense.
You've switched.
Because Norman is a suburb of Oklahoma City.
I know, but you have Oklahoma on your shirt right now, and you're a Pacers fan. That's messed up.
Yeah, it is. You've switched. I'm shocked you don't have like a Florida Panthers jersey on today.
I think people, it's a... So somebody
you have
could
to admit, it's a fair point.
So somebody could have gone to Oklahoma State and they could wear a Pacer and they could be on the Pacers, but they can't, heaven forbid they wear an Oklahoma State shirt.
Tyrese Haliburton played for Iowa State, but if
correct.
You told me Tyrese Haliburton played for Oklahoma State or Oklahoma, there's
hat.
No chance he's walking in with a shirt that has Oklahoma on it during the NBA Finals. Huh. No chance. No chance. That's all. All right, up next, let's talk some more Royals baseball. The general manager of the Kansas City Royals, J.J. Piccolo, joins us. We'll ask him about the reports that they are looking for outfield help and how do they approach the rest of this month now that this team sits three games back, in the wild card.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, ESW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Race, that's up next. All right, we're just getting started here on a Tuesday. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Jay Binkley in for Cody today. Drew Nixon producing the show. We'll get into some NFL coming up, of course, during the Chiefs Red Half Hour. We'll also talk more about what Major League Baseball just had this past weekend. It was Father's Day weekend. It was their best weekend attendance-wise across the league in 17 seasons.
It's huge.
So we'll talk a little bit more about what has gone into that across Major League Baseball. Obviously, the Royals were at home this past weekend, and we welcome in the general manager of the Kansas City Royals and the executive vice president of baseball ops, J.J. Piccolo, who always joins us here on 96.5 The Fan. Good morning, J.J. I'm curious, this is just even a question that I would ask any general manager in any sport, if you hear about players only meetings, what's your reaction as a GM when you hear that your squad had a players only meeting?
Well, to be honest, very, very happy that they did. You know, they're obviously feeling some pressure right now. Obviously, we're not playing as well as we're capable of playing. And, you know, the coaches do as much as they can day to day. And one of the things we try to maintain is consistency in our practices, in our routines. So the coaches are always doing their part. But it means a lot more when somebody like Salvi or Bobby or Vinny, whoever, you know, was the lead voice in that, it means a lot more when it's coming from the players because they're holding themselves accountable. And I thought it was a very positive sign.
You know, one thing too, JJ, I look back, you know, in the Royals run earlier, you know, in 14 and 15, and you think about Moose and his voice, like it was always in there. And then when he started to perform and do some things, like he let that voice come out a little bit more. We saw it a lot in Houston. Do guys have to get to a certain point, or can they kind of do this whenever if they've earned that respect?
Well, I think there's very few guys that from the day they step into a major league clubhouse have the confidence to be that guy. So it does take a little bit of track record, a little bit of history, a little bit of momentum, playing well, you know, over a year or two where you can settle in and, you know, sort of be the guy that you always were. I mean, it's, let's face it, most of these guys are the best players on their team their entire lives. So when they said something, if they were that emotional leader, it always carried some weight. But now you're in a major league clubhouse where everybody was the best player on their team. So you got to kind of earn your stripes before you're going to do something like that. And it took Moose a few years to do it. And, you know, no different than, you know, other players that we've been around over many years.
Do you think they work? Like, do you think players only meetings can truly shift the way things are going?
Well, I think it depends on the content of the meeting and how it goes. You know, my understanding was this was a very positive meeting. There wasn't any finger pointing. It was just like, guys, we got to get going here. Like, we're underperforming right now. I think it can help, you know, because, again, that accountability piece is being voiced. But when it really comes down to it, you still got to play the game. You know, right now, we're not playing as aggressively as we typically do. That was one of the things last year. You all remember the boys are playing some ball. That was a mantra because we were playing great defense. We were running the base as well. We were getting runners in, and the boys were playing some ball, you know, and that's something that has to happen on the field. You can verbalize it all you want, but at some point it has to become actionable. But having a meeting like that where the leaders speak up and the veterans speak up is a step in that direction because we're acknowledging that we're not doing those things and we need to get back to it.
You mentioned the coaching, and I think when an offense is performing the way you guys are right now and really have for the entirety of the season this point in time, folks outside the organization look at the players first and foremost, but then they also start looking maybe at the hitting coaches and the philosophy in terms of the organization when it comes to that. You still have plenty of confidence in where your approach is as an organization and with the hitting coaches in place right now?
I do. I mean, we've known these guys for a lot of years. They've done a wonderful job. I mean, you know, two of the three that are in the trenches every day, we're with these guys going through the minor leagues. They've built relationships. They have trust in each other. Players have trust in them. You know, they feel it just as much as the players do, and they want to, you know, wave the magic wand and try to figure out what each guy needs. But really, it's just staying positive right now, understanding the history between the coaches and the players. And the reminders. Nobody knows our current hitters as well as the guys in our batting cages every day. I mean, they live with them every day. They understand their swings. They understand what makes them tick. And now it's just a matter of trying to tweak some things here and there, but also stay positive. You know, you've got to stay positive through these tougher times. And I know we have the right guys that will stay positive, and they put the work in every day. You know, I can tell you this. Today in Texas is not going to look any different than last year in Texas as far as the energy and the positivity and our processes. But now the challenge is a little bit greater because the confidence, you know, is wavering a little bit. But all it takes is one little good run offensively to get that confidence back and you just go play baseball.
Yeah, because we've seen several teams do that here at the moment. But JJ, how tough is this right now in the front office when you think about preparing for the draft? You're looking at free agents. You're looking at things. Now there's the extra wild card that we've had the last couple of years in baseball. So conceivably, a lot of teams think they're still in it. How big of a challenge is that for the front office to do that? Plus all your draft work and you're looking at these free agents. It's got to be a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, I think if you ask most general managers and front offices, we really enjoyed the draft being in June. So okay. That's not the case anymore. But it makes for a busy month. You know, we're getting into, you know, this week's the combines in Arizona. Then you've got draft meetings starting the first week of July and leading up to the draft in the middle of July. And literally we'll flip our strategy room, you know, we'll flip it over from draft to trade deadline stuff. But for our front office, a few of us, we're working parallel tracks. You know, we're not involved day to day with the draft. We know what's going on. Some guys are out seeing players, and then we have another group that's working on, you know, trade ideas. What are we going to do at the deadline? So there's a few of us in the front office that run those parallel tracks, and you know, we've found a rhythm with it. It's not the first year we're doing it, but we found a rhythm with it, and you know, puts a little bit more on you, but that's what we're all dealing with. But you know, we're no different than any other team in baseball. We're all dealing with the same thing, and it's just our responsibility to do those things and pull off a draft successfully and have a successful draft deadline. Trade deadline.
Yeah, how tough is that though, JJ? When you look at these teams, because like I said, a lot of these teams still feel like they're in it. Their fan base still thinks they're in it because now with the extra wild card, you have a lot of teams that are kind of still sitting there, have to make decisions. Do they go forward or back? That's got to create a lot of confusion with front offices. And when you look at players thinking, well, is this team going to sell or not?
Yeah, no, you run that emotional high and low. You know, you think you're going to be buyers and you think you're going to be sellers. And if you're right at 500, you know, what do you believe that your team is going to do the rest of the year? So it is really difficult. And the hard part right now, for all front offices, is there are so many teams that are in it that you don't know if they're going to be buyers, sellers, or stand put. So you're going to do all your planning, but until you get to, I think it's going to be a very late, lot of action late in July, more so than we've seen in the past. But if you have a bunch of teams that are 3-4 games out on the wild card, you know, at the American League right now, it's really all but I think 3 teams that should believe they're going to make the playoffs. So you wouldn't expect a lot of, you know, heavy trading to happen in early July. So I really think, you know, when it happens, if it happens, it's going to be later in July this year.
We're talking to JJ Pecola, the general manager of the Kansas City Royals. So with that said, you know, there's some reports out there that you guys are looking for some outfield help. Now, that isn't just because the trade deadline's the end of July, and obviously it could be an active one late, doesn't mean that moves won't happen earlier, of course. So are you guys currently looking to add to this team still and be aggressive?
Yeah, well, I think we're just trying to monitor things. I mean, nobody seems to be very active right now. I know we had the big trade the other day, and that was a very unique trade for a lot of reasons. But, you know, it doesn't seem like teams are actively shopping players right now. So you just keep evaluating things. And what we've tried to do is, let's look internally. You know, what do we have internally that maybe can pick us up a little bit? And it may not be the, you know, the big bopper like, you know, Devers being traded, but if we can add to our offense and improve on the margins, improve our defense, improve our base running, we're going to explore that first because there doesn't seem to be a market right now where there's an outfielder available. So guys are getting opportunities right now, whether it's John Rave, Jack Caglione, they're all getting opportunities to play. And then it gives us more time to evaluate who they are and how they can impact this team in 2025. You know, so all that's coming into, you know, our thoughts, our processes, and really until you get somebody that is, you know, clearly going to be trading an outfielder, we can talk about all we want, but we can't force another team to make a trade.
Understand your positioning, of course, and the standings can change drastically from this week to 3 weeks from now, but when you look outside the organization, though, and you at least try to maybe start those conversations, are you guys looking to make a deal or a player that can help you beyond 2025? Or is this an organization right now that's in a position that would still be willing to make a move if it only impacts 2025?
Yeah, that's a tough question to answer. I mean, I guess the best way to answer it is the preference is always to have control. I mean, that you know, more years of control certainly benefits your organization. But when it comes down to it, who are the pool of players that are actually going to be traded, and what do their contracts look like? And when we get to that moment, I could better answer, if a rental player is all that's available. But you always set your sight, you know, at least we do, on players that have more than a year of control. That was what we followed last year. Doesn't mean that's what we're going to do this year, but so much of it depends on the pool of players that are available that will help us shape that answer.
There's a report out within the last hour, so I hate to put you on the spot a little bit here, JJ, that Mark Healy had a report in the last hour and a half or so that he's hearing Royals ownership has, I guess, told you to start thinking about trading some veteran talent. I guess your reaction to that is that, have you had those conversations?
Unequivocally false. That is as false as can be, and you know the accountability of that writer should be in question.
But answers that one. As far as who makes the final call, is it in the front office with you, JJ, and the scouts? Is it ownership? As far as the direction, how often do you guys have those conversations? Like, all right, do we push all in? Do we kind of wait? Who kind of makes that decision?
Well, I mean, ultimately, it'll be myself, and, you know, along with ownership, you know, their thoughts on the team, but it'll be myself. But if you sat with us over the last three games, from the first inning to the fourth inning to the seventh inning, the conversation kept shifting. You know, the emotions of the game get you thinking different ways. But ultimately, it'll be baseball operations decision. And we always have good discussions with ownership, and just because we want them to be aware of what we're thinking and, you know, collectively make a great decision.
Away from the trade stuff, a big topic of conversation amongst fans, and we had it certainly on our show yesterday, was about Noah Cameron, who has, of course, been an unbelievable bright spot for you guys as an organization since he has been called up. And fans maybe trying to just figure out, is it an organizational approach? Is it something on a game-by-game basis when you see, let's say Noah Cameron has an 80-pitch performance, and then there's another game where he goes 100 pitches, and fans are just trying to figure out, all right, why is he pulled out after a certain pitch count? Is that something where ahead of time you guys go into a game and know, hey, this is what we're going to dictate in terms of his pitch count? Or is that just playing it out game by game, if that makes sense? Because I think fans are just a little confused.
Yeah. No, it's a good point. But when you're in the major leagues, you know, it's hard to think about resting and getting guys through the season. Now, Noah's young, you know, so we're aware of that. But the game, you know, in particular that I think you're referring to, you know, the matchup fell exactly the way we wanted to fall when he came out of the game. And our bullpen was well rested. We were lined up really well to finish that game. It just didn't happen. You know, that game, it didn't go our way because of one bad pitch. But it lined up exactly how the coaches had talked about matchups and what we wanted. It had nothing to do with trying to limit Noah's pitch count. It was a decision made by Q that just didn't work out that night. You know, John Schreiber gets through that inning clean, and now we roll from to Ursig and Estevez, and we win the game. It's questioned a lot less, and it should be questioned. That's part of the manager's job. They have tough decisions to make through games, and that one just didn't work out. But that had nothing to do with trying to, you know, nurture and control what Noah's doing for big picture reasons.
I did want to ask you about Chris Bubich, JJ. This guy, I've always enjoyed Chris Bubich and what he can do, but this season has been incredible. And I think he kind of got hosed against the Yankees, to be honest with you, because I think there was a strikeout there that wasn't a strikeout, then some other runs come. But to be sitting there at fifth in ERA in all of Major League Baseball, of course, that dropped last week because, well, I don't think it was all because of him. But just what kind of bright spots he been? Because you think about your rotation and then how good's Chris Bubich going to be. Then when you see how good he's going to be and what he's done to this pitching staff, just kind of what's he meant to the organization? He been your kind of biggest surprise this year?
Well, we had a lot of confidence in Chris, which allowed us to be confident in trading a starting pitcher in the offseason because we felt like Chris could step in and be part of the rotation. But I would be lying if I said we thought he would be in the top five in baseball and how he's performing. When you look at Chris's whole body of work, you know, we really thought he was starting to turn the corners as a starter. prior to the Tommy John. Then he got hurt and he missed his time. And now he seems to, it's almost like he didn't miss any time. You know, the command's better. He's got an additional pitch in the slider. He's always used his changeup well. He's starting to locate in on right-handed hitters at a more efficient rate than he did prior to the injury. So things are just coming together. And then you throw in sort of the X factor, and that's Chris's baseball IQ. I mean, he's a very intelligent person, period. But when it comes to his baseball IQ and trying to understand how he can execute a game plan, work his way through a lineup, you know, I think that is something that may separate him from a lot of other young pitchers in the game. But it's been outstanding to see. And, you know, who knows where we would be without all of our starting pitchers doing what they're doing, and our bullpen pitching pretty well. You know, without the pitching, you know, this may look a little more bleak than it does right now. You know, we're still in it, and glad that the pitching's come through.
J.J. Piccolo, Royals General Manager, joins us here on 96.5 The Fan every couple weeks. We appreciate it, J.J. Thanks.
Okay, guys. Thank you.
There you go. That's the general manager of the Royals as they begin a road trip down in Texas. A lot of stuff there. We're going to react to it throughout the show as well. Real quick, I will play his response, though, to that report. I mean, that was obviously
he's a big fan of it.
Shutting that down right away. There was a report 2 hours ago that, you know, the reporter Mark Healy had said that the Royals ownership had told Piccolo to start thinking about trading some veteran talent. This was J.J. Piccolo's response to that.
Unequivocally false. That is as false as can be. And, you know, the accountability of that writer should be in question.
There you go. I mean, that'll shut that thing down right away. Look, I think in terms of Seth Lugo, if this team finds themselves in a spot, let's call it 3-4 weeks from now, or, you know, closer to the trade deadline, and they are clearly in a spot where it's just not happening this year, and it's clear that they're sellers, well, then, yeah, Seth Lugo should be somebody at that point in time.
Like, but right saying, now, though, it's tough to think of because you're still kind of in it, yet do you know you're in it or not? I mean, that's the things that front offices are going through.
I don't know any organization. I guess you could argue the Pirates last year, and I don't take the Pirates seriously. Any organization that being 3 games out of a playoff spot would be selling their best pitcher, second best pitcher, depending on how you want to look at it, right? Like, so that would have stunned me if they would be willing to do that already. Now, could they still eventually trade him? Yeah, I think that could happen still a month from now if the team is not going here. If they continue on this track and they have another bad road trip or so, that then that's a conversation maybe that happens. But it sounds like that, again, has not happened at this point in time. That report is false.
I asked JJ, I'll ask you, Chris Bubich, the biggest surprise on this team? It's got to be. Yeah. I don't even think it's a question. Bubich, his performance, yeah, biggest surprise on this team, 100%.
Yeah, him and Noah Cameron have been unbelievable wins for the organization this year, and there's no doubt.
Chris, and they're homegrown, which is
sure
bodes well.
In different ways, too, in terms of, like, you go and you watch Noah Cameron, nobody is getting blown away by his stuff, but he seems to be a very, very smart pitcher. And that way, he kind of reminds you of Seth Lugo a little bit, just in terms of how he approaches.
Not overpowering. Just
yeah, like, he's not a guy that's going to go strike. You know, his strikeouts over seven or over nine innings is, or I guess seven innings, is not going to impress anybody.
It's like, but Greg, yeah, Maddux. He's been awesome. I'm not saying he's Greg Maddux, but I'm saying he wasn't an overpowering pitcher. He wasn't. You looked at some of the staffs that he was on. He didn't throw as hard as anybody, but he was just outthinking all the hitters. Like, he was a thinking man's pitcher.
So I appreciate J.J. Piccolo joining us. We'll play back some of the other things he had to say about the trade market, where they're at, what confidence level they have in the hitting staff right now heading onto this road trip. We'll get into that throughout the show today. We'll also just talk more about the road trip in 10 minutes or so, and what do we think the team looks like by the time they come back home. Do they get back to .500 by the time they're back at Kauffman Stadium? Those are things we'll get to. But over the weekend, Major League Baseball announced that they had their best Father's Day weekend attendance in 17 seasons. And where is baseball at just as a sport? 39,255 fans per game over the weekend. That was MLB's highest average Sunday attendance since 2008. In addition, the weekend had nearly 1.7 million fans. That was the second largest 45-game weekend in 17 seasons. So this is great news, obviously, yeah, for the sport of baseball. This is also why I hate that we are in 2 years, I think it will be, likely headed towards a potential situation with the CBA that could lead to games being missed, because it feels like baseball has some really good momentum. You've got tons of young stars.
Because it took McGuire and Sosa to bring him back.
Right. You have tons of young stars right now. Obviously, here in Kansas City, Bobby Wood Jr. is a star across the league. Aaron Judge is doing ridiculous things.
Except you've got, for the 9 strikeouts in the last 10 at bats.
Yeah, I think he's okay, though. I think Aaron Judge is going to be just fine.
Is that 377?
Shohei Ohtani last night started pitching again, which was that bumped up their attendance. I saw secondary ticket prices in L.A. were up last night.
Gives up a run, and hits a double, and knocks one in.
You brought up Paul Skeens already. I'm just naming a few. There's so many other stars. Jacob Wilson, what he's doing this year. That's what's disappointing is the momentum they have and the change with the pitch clock over the last couple of years. Baseball, I think, is in a really, really good spot. And you see the attendance this weekend, and then you realize that there's a CBA issue that could come up very soon. That's what stinks if I'm a fan out there, knowing that could actually kill all this momentum here pretty soon.
Yeah, that's one thing you can't let happen. I know it looks bad for baseball in a couple of years, but they can't go through this again. It took a while to come back the last time they did it. I mean, it took a home run chase.
Yeah, yep.
Took McGuire and Sosa, and that's what you had. Unless you have Ohtani, they can bring everybody back. Judge.
Yeah, I just think the numbers for the weekend show that those that think, baseball is dying or whatever. Drew, you were referencing some numbers, too, from a TV perspective that, even younger fans, that's always been the thing.
Yeah, the 18 to 34 demographic, I think, is up a significant margin.
Yeah, that might be the biggest positive sign of everything for Major League Baseball.
Yeah, because it was the oldest fan base in all the sports.
I don't have the exact numbers. I couldn't find them. But, yeah, the 18 to 34, 39 demographic saw an uptick.
Well, that's what they needed. They had to start getting younger fans to enjoy the game.
So much is the accessibility to your fans, in the TV product. We've talked about that quite a bit over the years here in Kansas City. That's a huge part of it. And I also think, I've talked plenty, Dusty and I have been talking plenty about the trading card stuff. And I know for some of you that think that's crazy, but I'm just telling you that for younger fans, the sports card thing is a huge reason, I believe, why that younger demographic is being bumped up in terms of the numbers, interest in baseball, man. There's a lot of people that love sports cards again. And then there's a lot of athletes, Jack Caglione and Bobby Wood Jr., are two of them that are very much in the hobby. And when you see a player collecting his own cards, that helps not only the value of the card, but also it gets people more into the hobby. Guys like Bobby Wood Jr. will do trades with fans for cards at Kauffman Stadium
They started to lose some of that demographic they had, the older demographic. You know why?
Yeah.
I've said it before, and people are like, I don't know. But people could pay cash for things. They had tickets in their hand. Then it all became the digital ticket. You may not think that stuff matters, but it does. Like the older generation, they want those tickets in their hand. They don't want to use their cell phone for everything, to purchase everything. I know it sounds silly and not the way things are going, but that old demographic that was going to baseball games, that's how they went.
Yeah.
And then everything changed on them.
Coming up next, let's talk more about the Royals. The start of a road trip. What do we think the team looks like by the time they get back to Kansas City? Can they get to 500 again? We'll also get to the trash of the day right here on Cody and Gold.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com.
BlinDrive.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.